That don't bother me.
I say the only thing that does bother me about it is another rest of us get in it. That's the bothering part of it right there. Amen. I'm going to try to preach this morning. I'll be honest. If there's a problem with it, it won't be you. It'll be me. I've kind of wrestled and with it and the thought, and I just never could get it down in the order on paper that I wanted to put it down on. And I've had tonight's message on my heart a great deal. The Lord, I'm studying Solomon and preaching what I study. But the Lord spoke to my heart this week about what to preach tonight. And a little different story there. Not a sermon, but a message, I believe. And there is a difference between a sermon and a message. And the message will be intended for this church. And I hope you'll be here. And I hope that if you know how to pray, you'll come pray. And it's not me. You don't have to get worried. It's not a thing, me. It's something encouraging that I believe will help us if we'll listen to it. You know, God always helps His people through the Word of God if we'll listen. And there's a famine of hearing the Word of God in the land today. It's just like it was in the days of Samuel and Eli. The Word of God is precious today. There's no open vision. And Eli was so backslidden, he didn't even realize that God was speaking to Samuel. And it's a sad day when a little boy can hear the voice of God and have understanding above the men of God. But I'm afraid we may be living there in our churches today. Amen. I think the children know more sometimes about God than us adults do. Huh? I won't charge you a thing for that. Adults got a way of carrying grudges forever and a day. They're like an elephant. They don't ever forget. And little children will forget 3 minutes, 3 seconds. Later, it's done, washed over their heads. Be a happy day when God's people get that way. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, and let's stand together, please. We're still in verse number 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, and verse number 2. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for Thy Word that You've given today. And I pray that You'll take that Word, which is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and help our hearts to see the life that is there and the examining power that it contains. Help us, I pray today, to magnify You in everything that is said from this platform. I pray that You'll give my physical body some energy this morning, Lord, and some strength. God, that You would anoint my spiritual man, that inner man. Give it unction and fill me with grace and with the glory of God, that I might be a blessing to Thy people. I pray, Lord, that You'll give me some clarity of thought. Help my thoughts, Lord, to be arranged in order that it may be a message to Thy people, that their hearts might be lifted and blessed. Lord, that souls might be saved, that the flesh and the world and the devil might be rebuked, and our hearts may be encouraged. I pray You'll save someone today. You are the Lord of the harvest. And I pray, O God, that today You might save someone by the marvelous grace of God. Help me to wait upon Thee in these next few moments and be a blessing to people. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. The last part of verse number 2, where the Bible said, Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Again, I want to emphasize the fact that the Word of God is never vulgar. And that's right. And by the way, pornography has never been a part of God's format from the platform of the church. Brother Steve tells me that we had a little problem with one of our programs just the other day and got involved in a little pornography. In fact, talking about pornography, and they said that some of the excerpts would not be approvable for young children to listen to. Now, I want to say it is a sad day, my friend, when Christian radio broadcasting will broadcast certain things about life that ought not to be listened to by our children. And most of the time when you either preach or teach on these matters, I tell you, it does more to initiate those thoughts in a child's mind than it does to prevent them from becoming engaged in sinful and wicked fornication and other things that the Bible does not become explicit on. And so Solomon is not being at all vulgar in this scripture. He uses the navel and the belly to emphasize the inner life or the spiritual life of the child of God. And there are two walks of life for you and I. There is that practical Christianity, our conversation in daily life, and that people see. And then there is that inner man or that inner work of grace that God has done that only God can see. I want to say that man does not know man's heart. The Bible said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins. And my friend, man cannot look upon the heart of man, but we can look upon their fruit. And that fruit is their outward conversation. I'd have a hard time believing that a drunk is a going to heaven. I don't care what he says with his mouth. I don't believe he's going to heaven. I have a hard time believing that someone that lives in fornication and adultery is a going to heaven. No, sir, I don't care what they say with their tongue, my friend. If the fruit does not bear out the truth of this Bible, then they are not going to heaven. I tell you, salvation in an old-fashioned way will change a man. And so in verse 1, we find that outward walk of the Christian. And in verse number 2, we find that inward life, that renewed life. And Solomon says there in describing the bride that her belly is like a heap of wheat. Now, I want you to stay with me for a moment. Understand that a heap of wheat, friend, is not wheat that is standing out yonder in the field. It is not wheat that is yet in growth, but it is wheat that has been matured and not only has grown to a state of maturity, but it has been harvested and it's been gathered and garnered and brought in to the Lord's wheat harvest. Now, I want to say that I'm glad, thank God, that He is the Lord of the harvest. Brother, some of our easy believism folks have the idea that super duper Mr. Soul Winner is the Lord of the harvest. But I'm glad that our Lord Himself is the Lord of the harvest. Amen. And He knows, church, when to cast in the sickle and gather the wheat and when to leave the wheat alone. I'm going to be honest with you. If it was left up to Brother Hall, my friend, I'd already wrapped this thing up and gone on to heaven myself and took this blood-bought crowd with me. But somebody said, preacher, that old song, wait a little longer till we get our loved ones in. You don't listen to preaching, my friend. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. And mark her down, He knows who is and who ain't. Amen to God. And He'll not reap the harvest any too soon. He'll not reap it any too late. He knows when to thrust in the sickle and gather the wheat and gather it into His barn. And there's coming some glorious morning, friend, when the trumpet's going to sound.
found, and the dead in Christ are going to get up out of the grave, and Jesus is going to come in clouds of glory to gather you and I into His heavenly bar. And by the way, He has already thoroughly purged His floor and prepared a place, and He's got a place yonder awaiting for you and I. Amen. It's a heap of wheat. It's not standing wheat, but it's a heap of wheat that is set about with lilies. It's not wheat that is yet standing out in the field, but it's wheat that has already been harvested. Now, I'd deny my conscience if I didn't mention this. Jeremiah said the summer is ended and the harvest is past and we are not saved. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. It's going to be a sad day when the trumpet sounds. Because when that trumpet sounds, God's harvest time is going to be ended. And there's going to be some that are not saved. You said, you mean God is not going to take everybody to heaven? I talked to a man just this week. He said, Brother Hall, I can't understand how a loving God, as loving as He is, would allow anybody to go to hell. I said, sir, God doesn't allow men and women to go to hell. They go to hell because they've denied the Lord. They go to hell because they've rejected the truth. They go to hell because they've refused to come to Christ. And it's not that men cannot come to Christ. It's that they will not come to Christ, that they might be saved. Save my friend and know Him in the free pardon of sin. Harvest is ended. Summer's past. And we're not saved. But He said here that the bride is like a heap of wheat. Like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. I want to say that first of all, this wheat, it is wheat that has been gathered. Already gathered, friend, not waiting to be gathered, but is already gathered. Listen what John the Baptist says about this wheat in Matthew 3:11-12. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brother, I tell you, there's a whole lot of Pentecostal folk that don't understand that verse of Scripture. They take it out of context and said that God will baptize His people with Holy Ghost and with fire. But John goes on to say that He'll gather the wheat into His garner, but the chaff He'll burn with unquenchable fire. And I'm telling you this, Lord of the harvest, that I'm preaching about this morning, my friend. Oh yes, He knows how to gather His wheat into the barn. But I'm telling you, the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. He will baptize with the Holy Ghost those that come to Him. But those that reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus will die in their sin, friend, and burn in hell for all eternity. Somebody said, I don't like that, preacher. Don't matter whether you like it or not. It's an absolute fact about the Bible. Amen. That's right. Said He'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Listen carefully. Whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor. Amen. Here's the thought. And gather His wheat into His garner. Amen. But He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. Don't nobody leave me. The reaper is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll gather His wheat into the barn. He is the reaper. He's the Lord of the harvest. The Bible said that John admitted that He is mightier than I. His fan is in His hand. He'll thoroughly purge His floor, and He will gather the wheat into the garner. I want to say to you, my friend, that He is wise in the harvest. Oh, yes, sir. I'm getting ready to get somewhere if you'll hang on. Son, He's wise in the harvest. Somebody said, hey, what do you mean, Brother Hall? He's wise. You realize that He knows the tares from the wheat. Amen. And knows when the best time is to harvest the wheat into the barn and to leave the tares, to bind the tares in bundles to be burned. He's wise in the harvest. He can distinguish my friend, between the tares and the wheat. I want to say this morning. There's probably some of you sitting here. You've got the idea, friend, that you're hiding from God. But I'm here to tell you that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, beholding both the good and the evil. And the foundation of God standeth sure. He knoweth them that are His. And friend, His all scrutinizing eye has no problem looking at your heart and my heart and distinguishing who is the tares and who's the wheat, who's the sheep and who's the goat. Oh yes, no problem. He can distinguish this morning. He is that wise to look upon the heart, and a mere profession of faith will not get over on God. He knows the heart of man, whether you're regenerated and a new creature or whether you're putting on a sham and a show and trying to wrap pig leaves around your nakedness and go to heaven. You're not making it in pig leaves, honey. You're going to have to wrap yourself in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you I was struggling with this and didn't know what direction to go. I may just preach a rabbit message this morning. Shoot at everything that jumps up, buddy. Amen. Somebody said, you believe there's tares here? Don't believe it? Know it. They're in every church. They're in every church. And He's wise. Listen. In Matthew 13, in that parable of the tares and the wheat, the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the seed, my friend, and the wheat, and the tares came up. When they budded out in that little old recognizable leaf that wheat and tare have, you know, you can't hardly tell them apart when they're little. You can't distinguish tares and wheat when they're small from one another. But son, when they begin to grow, you don't, hey, there's no problem. The servants went out and they went to the master and said, hey, didn't you sow good seed in your field? He said, I sowed good seed. He said, well, they said, when whence cometh the tares in the field? And the Lord of the harvest said, an enemy hath done this. While men slept, the enemy hath done this and sowed tares amongst the wheat. I said, he's wise in the harvest. Listen to what I'm telling you. Those servants said, master, would you have us to go out and root up those tares, get those tares out of the wheat harvest? He said, no, let them alone. You're not very wise. Let them alone. He said, lest when you root up the tares, you're going to root up the wheat also. I want to say this morning, friend, that's one of the tragedies in the house of God. The devil, while men sleep, will enter in and sow tares in the wheat harvest. And it never fails that when you try to root up the tares and get them out of the house of God, there'll always be some wheat that'll get rooted up with them. Our best thing is to let them alone and let them both grow together. And in the harvest time, the Lord knows how to gather His wheat into the corner. But He'll bind the tares in bundle to be burned in unquenchable fire. That's right. Even if we know who those tares are. His servants knew. They didn't have any problem recognizing the fruit on the top of that little stalk when it come out of the ground. I'm telling you, I'm not a judge. But I'm like the fellow said the other day, I'm a pretty good fruit inspector, friend. Get this. Brother Andy, when there's no love, joy, peace. I want to repeat that. No love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. When there's no evidence of that in somebody's life, mark her down. They are tear, friend. Oh, yeah. And get this now. I make no apologies for it, because the Scripture definitely says that the tares are children of the devil. The tares are not just lost sinners. They're children of the devil that's been planted in that field by the devil himself, my friend, to cause havoc in the house of God. Woo! Somebody ought to say, amen and help, Brother Hall. Thank you, Brother Jerome. His servants wanted to immediately. They wanted to immediately tear up the wheat. They wanted to immediately gather up the tares and root up also the wheat with them. But Jesus said, let both grow together until the harvest. in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to be burned. Are you hearing me well? Somebody said, what's going on in our churches? Why is everybody leaving the Baptist churches? I'm going to tell you why. They're being gathered, my friend, and bound in bundles to be burned. This is not a day of input. We're living in an hour of output in the house of God. We're not living in a time of great input and souls being saved. But God is a purging His church, and it might be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I tell you, the wheat will never shine like the firmament of the heaven until the tares are bound in bundles to be burned. Oh, but we're like a heap of wheat that's gathered into His barn. And oh yes, set about with lilies. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when we'll be wheat and wheat only in the house of God. Woo! I believe I can preach if y'all just limber up a little bit and help me. Somebody said, who are you preaching to? I'm preaching to the tires and the wheat barn. Classify yourself. I ain't singled nobody out and classified you, have I? Classify yourself, amen. I know what I am. I know what I am. The scripture said that the bride is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. And that heap of wheat is gathered wheat. It's all right, not standing wheat in the field. He's talking about gathered wheat. In fact, friend, the fellowship from chapter 7 on to the bride and the bridegroom in Solomon is unbroken. I believe literally what we're seeing here throughout the most part of it is that picture in glory. Hallelujah to God. When God's called His bride out of this world, hallelujah, and set us in glory, and set round about us a lily patch, hallelujah to God, to add beauty to beauty. I'm glad, thank God, that we're like wheat that's been gathered into that heavenly barn up yonder in God's celestial city. Blessed be His wonderful name, and He knows who is His. And there ain't no tares in the wheat. None. He said, gather the wheat into my barn. I'm going to say, not only is He wise in the harvest, but He waits patiently for the harvest. James 5:7 said, but be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, I've got a long way to go. I've got a lot of preaching. I'm going to get done. Got some things you got to do. Not only wheat gathered, but wheat garnered. Amen. There's a difference in gathering the wheat and garnering the wheat. Right. You ever see old-timey folks gather in that wheat, huh? You know how it's done? Didn't he say in chapter 3 there of Matthew that he had gathered the wheat into his garner, amen, but he had burned the chaff with unquenchable fire? Come on in the house, children. We're getting ready to go somewhere. We're getting ready to go to church now. Hey, not only is it gathered, but it's garnered. That means, my friend, not only has it been harvested out of the field, but it's been put into the barn. It's already been through the thrashing floor, and it's been brought into the barn. Miss Angie, you look a little puzzled. I'll put it to you like this. The wheat that we're talking about that is gathered may not necessarily be void or free from all the chaff. But wheat that has been gathered and garnered is free from the chaff. It has been through the thrashing floor. Did you read what he said in Matthew? Whose fan is in his hand. I'm here to tell you, friend, he is sifting out the chaff from the wheat. Oh, hallelujah to God. And he's doing it right now. Come on in the house, children. I won't charge anything for this. Have you ever seen an old-time winnowing fork? You ever seen a fan? That fan is a winnowing fork. And it is used to separate the chaff from the real wheat. It's winnowed. His fan is in his hand. It's a winnowing fork. And I'll tell you, the Lord is taking that winnowing fork and He'll sink it into that wheat, lift it up into the air, and begin to shake. Hey! I'm glad, thank God, that God knows how to take the winnowing fork and shake up the wheat down at the house of God to get the chaff out of it, my friend. And we may be a heap of wheat to the glory of God. Don't leave me now. You know how he does that? He lifts that, puts that winnowing fork down into that wheat, and he lifts it up, and he begins to shake it. I've watched it done, friend. And that wheat is heavier than the chaff. By the way, God's people are always a little weightier than lost people are. They got a little more weight to them, son. Amen. A little more anchor in the seat of their britches. And what lost? Hey, lost men, ungodly men are like the chaff, which the wind, I'll read that in a minute, which the wind driveth away. I'm about to get them a thought and I'm about to go crazy. Hallelujah to God. I'm okay. He'll take that winnowing fork and put it in that wheat that's been gathered, and he'll begin to thrash it for the garnering. And soon he'll shake that winnowing fork, and that heavy wheat will fall to the ground. But the chaff is light, and the wind drives it away. Thus, the wheat and the chaff are separated. I'm glad, thank God, that God Almighty Son knows how to separate the wheat from the chaff. Brother Mark, can I just throw this out at everybody? Right over here, you seem to be listening good. I believe that fan, that winnowing fan, that winnowing fork is a type of the Word of God. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Son, it knows how to lift up the chaff and the wheat together and shake it up. Oh, there's nothing like the Word of God. It's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I'm telling you, God knows how to take that Word of God like that fan and ram it into the wheat, hallelujah to God, and begin to shake it around. Can He shake you up or not?
Amen.
Pretty well. He's pretty well shook me up in my lifetime.
Amen.
That is right. That fan's got to be the Word of God. But I'm telling you, the wind that driveth away the chaff, it's got to be the Holy Ghost. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and oh yes, and the chaff is driven away by the wind.
Amen.
Brother Wayne, know the best way to get the tares and the chaff out of the house of God, put the Word of God in there, pray and get the presence of the Holy Ghost in the house of God, and get the wind to blow. And son, the chaff can't handle the wind. Too light. They like a carnal religion. But son, I like a Holy Ghost salvation. You can have your carnal religion. I like a Holy Ghost salvation. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like it when folks get too excited about the house of God. Son, I'm telling you, I do like it when the Holy Ghost is doing a little stirring. Oh yes, like in John 5 at the pool of Bethesda. But when the waters are troubled, it's the water of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost that's doing the shaking up. I'm glad, thank God, that the wind, friends, can drive away the chaff. Now, I'm probably fixing to make some of you mad right now. Somebody said, preacher, what is the chaff? I'm glad you asked. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen carefully. Hey, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I'm here to tell you, friend, that chaff, that those ungodly people that have attached themselves to the house of God, there is coming a harvest time, son, when the winnowing fork will be applied through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost wind will get to blowing. And God knows how to sift out the wheat of God before the judgment seat. And he calls them ungodly men. Come on now. Somebody said, preacher, how do you get... Hey, he talked about the chaff being burned with unquenchable fire. Nobody leave me. I'm going to give you both of these so we can go on. He talks about the chaff being burned with unquenchable fire. There's only two things in the Bible that I know that will be burned with unquenchable fire. That is the souls of lost men and the unfruitful works of the saved at the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
There's a twofold application there, buddy. That wheat. Get it now.
That wheat has been set free.
Yes,
of all chaff, of all ungodly men.
Yes.
But it is also, friend, been through the judgment seat.
Amen.
And been purified.
Amen.
That's one reason it's set about with lilies.
Yes.
Those lilies represent purity. And it is a purified, friend, wheat that has been purified by the judgment seat.
Amen.
Somebody said, what is that unfruitful work? Your wood,
right.
Your hay,
yes,
and your stubble.
Amen.
What you've done to be seen of men. May I say, and y'all ain't helped me a whole lot today. You're vocal, but your spirit ain't here. I believe some of you are a little worried. I might say something that might offend you. What are you going to do about great peace have they which love thy law? Nothing shall offend them. If I preach to you a lie, son, clam up. If I don't, say amen, or owe me one. Huh? That's right. Ungodly men and unfruitful works will be burned as chaff with unquenchable fire. And son, I'm telling you, we live in a generation of people. Come on now. We live in a generation of people that as long as you pat them on the back and recognize them for everything that they do in the house of God, they'll get along just fine. But son, when you don't recognize them every Sunday and pat them on the back, they really know how to get bent out of joint. Huh? Or when they want their little place of authority. I won't charge you nothing for that. Come on in the house, youngins.
Amen.
Chaff! I wonder how much of our works is chaff.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Useless before God. Not benefiting God nor the church one bit. It's chaff, my friend.
Amen.
That'll be burned up. I got to hurry. Y'all's done got upset. Now I'm trying to hurry. Take my word for it. Number three, not only wheat that's been gathered and wheat that's been garnered, but this heap of wheat may be wheat that's been ground. I'm talking about pulverized. I'm talking about sifted. Like the Lord said to Simon Peter in Luke 22:31. The Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Come on in the house now. Y'all ain't going to leave me on this, are you? That word sift means to riddle. May I say to you that sifting goes beyond your everyday temptation. Brother Steve, you look a little interested. Just let me come down there and can't be you by a minute. You know what most people, you don't mind if I sit down with you, Miss Ruth, I promise I won't bite. You know what most people think temptation is today? Temptation, tempting a man or a woman to commit adultery or fornication or drink a can of beer, and that's all farther temptation goes. But I want to say to you that the Bible said that our Lord was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. You reckon he was tempted to commit fornication? He couldn't have been tempted to commit adultery because there never was murder. No marriage. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Sifting, that ground wheat. And I'm going to tell you what, every Christian's going through it. You can lock it, lump it, hump it, or bump it, and if you ain't went through it, you're not a child of God. I want to run that by you again. If you ain't been through it,
amen,
you are not a child of God.
Amen.
Ground wheat.
Amen.
Now come on in the house, and I won't charge you nothing for this, but I know some of you are going to get upset at Brother Hall. But I want to say that sifting goes beyond tempting in just the outward thing. I believe the greatest temptation that the devil can pose against us, and the greatest victory that he has is tempting us to forget our daily Christian activities for God. I think I wrote it down this way. Tempted in Christian duties. I can't find anywhere
on in Peter's life where Peter was ever tempted to commit adultery. He was never tempted to commit fornication. Never tempted to get drunk. But I'll tell you where our Christian biblical Baptist mentality today is that, friend, if we don't commit adultery, whoremong, or smoke dope, then we're pretty good people for God. But what about our Christian duties? What about our responsibilities to God? What about, my friend, practical Christianity? What about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, a living for God? May I say that old Peter was tempted and found sleeping in his prayer life. Won't charge you nothing for that, gentlemen. Well, you don't need to go over on Friday, Saturday nights. They need to go there. They don't pray over 30 or 35 minutes on Saturday nights, no how. Who's telling you that? Who you listening to, sir, ma'am? And by the way, I hope the young boy at Marion's listening. Peter, James, and John wasn't drunk on red wine. They had been deceived, son, by the power of Satan while they were being run through the pulverizing sift of Almighty God, sifting out the chaff to make them pure wheat, to bring into that heap of wheat into God's garner. God ever tempted you in your prayer life? Well, no need of me going down there. My prayers don't get any higher than my nose anyway. I'd rather you'd be here and they'd get to your nose and not get it off. And I'm going to say, hey, the Bible said, the Lord's disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. You've got to learn to pray, and to learn to pray, you've got to study. You don't learn anything without studying, friend. And I'm going to tell you, on-the-job training is pretty good. I'm going to say this, and I ain't trying to stick a feather in nobody's hat. But old Shelby back there heard Benny one Sunday morning admonish you men about praying on Saturday night, and he ain't missed a Saturday night since. Where's the rest of y'all at? And some of you hold leadership positions in the church and can't come on Saturday night and pray. That's a fine example to set before the people, ain't it? I don't charge them nothing for that, Brother Andy. Sleeping in prayer. Oh, I know if you're providentially hindered, that's fine. But sleeping in your prayer life. That's where I'm trying to help you. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? That's where the devil's going to broadside you. I'm telling you, I'm not tempted to get drunk. I'm not tempted to watch pornography on the internet. I'm not tempted to smoke dope. I'm not tempted to run around on my wife. But I tell you what I am tempted in this flesh of mine that'll get lazy and lay out on God in the duties and responsibilities God's called me to. That's right, friend. Amen. What about silent in his devotions? I'd say he got tempted there. Surely you're one of his disciples. I don't know the man. When was the last time you muffled your voice when somebody said, surely you're a Christian? Silent! That's what the devil wants. Son, the Bible, hey, the Bible said a sower went forth to sow, and son, there'll never be wheat gathered into the corner until we go forth and sow the seed of the Word of God. And you cannot do that with a silent mouth. And silent praying. And no praying. Oh, no, yes, sir. Buddy, we right there right now where God... I was kind of concerned about this morning, but I right where God wants me to be in the morning hour now. Our silent devotions. I don't know Jesus. When was the last time you told somebody about God? Well, preacher, I'm backwards. Well, let God turn you around forward. Well, I don't know how to tell nobody anything. Can you tell them? Jesus saves. That young man the other day told me, Brother Billy, he said, I just don't understand, you know, how loving God could cause all these little old babies to catch cancer and die and shorten their life and all this evil that's going on. I said, sir, God didn't cause men to do that. I said, give me a minute. I said, you're blaming something on God. Oh, he opened up a door. Woo, son, I like to seize every opportunity. I said, you know why them little babies are dying like that and catching cancer and why people are dying? It's a word called S-I-N. And don't blame it on the God. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Old men, middle-aged men, young men, girls, boys, babies, and of all kinds. Because of sin. I said, what's going on in the world is not God's fault, it's man's fault. God set man in a perfect environment. And man shone powder up. Somebody said, I wouldn't have done that if I'd have been there. You'd have done the same thing Adam done if you had been there. I'm going to tell you why. It's because you're clay just like he is. And I'm clay just like he is. That's why we need a Savior. Hallelujah to God. And that Savior knows how weak I am. Oh, yes, sir. And he set his love and affection upon me and come all the way from heaven's glory just to redeem an old worm like me. Hallelujah to God. From the dust of the earth. And he left me and set his affection upon me and lifted me out of the miry clay. I'm telling you, because he's done so much for me, I don't have any problem, Brother Jerry Frazier, doing a few things for him. Praying don't bother me. Studying and preaching. Telling somebody about God. Going to camp meeting Jubilee. Hey, it don't bother me, son, to try to serve God because God has done so much for me.
Amen.
Huh? Some of y'all lay out of the Jubilee and should be here. Come on now. I'm going to tell you something else about Peter where he was tempted. He was self-centered. You know, in John, is it 20 or 21, where he looked at them other disciples, and here's what he said. I go fishing. And those other fellows said, well, I think we'll just go with you. I am going fishing. And I'm not talking about you, Brother Ricky. I don't care how much you fish. I don't care how much you fish. That's your Brother Hall now, and I'm your pastor. I don't care how much you fish and how much you hunt, as long as you're in the house of God when the door's back there is open.
Amen.
And bring me a little venison and a little fish. But he said, I go a-fishing. And look here. All those other men followed him. I want you to listen carefully. Listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Here was Peter's problem there. Peter, those men knew that Peter had a little bit of authority in the inner circle with God. And they said, Peter, because you've got a little authority, we're going to follow your authority. And you say, go fishing, we're going fishing with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. Are you listening to me? You better be careful. You better be careful when you get yourself in a little position of authority or where you think you've got a little bit of authority. Because if you don't conduct yourself in the right manner there, you've got people with eyeballs are watching you.
Right. Amen.
Do you young people watch Brother Hall? How I conduct myself? What would you think of me, Cindy, if you seen me drunk next week?
Right.
Well, let me ask you something, Blake. You don't mind talking, do you? Where folks can hear you. What would you think of Brother Hall as a Christian and a leader in this church if next week you caught me raising hell with Brother Ricky over and us fighting like two little children? What would you think, Brother? What would you think? Think what? I didn't believe what I preached. Not to mention the fact, do you think that I might, you think that there may be a little evidence there that I'm a carnal Christian? A little child rather than a mature person that has abused the authority that God gave me? Come on in the house, children. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Peter let self get in the way of Peter. And he let self get in the way of serving God. And if we let self get in the way of serving God, son, I'm telling you, self cannot get along with other people.
Amen.
But grace can. A heap of wheat that's been pulverized. You don't pulverize it without breaking it down. Lord, I'm about ready to preach. Whoa, has God ever broken you? Has your alabaster box ever been broken? Are you broken before God? I'll tell you, son, if you will fall upon that rock, He'll break you, my friend, and let the odor of Christ flow out of you to all those around you. But if that rock falls on you, He'll grind you to powder, neighbor. Ground wheat. But it goes on to say that it's set about with a little. Gathered wheat, garnered wheat, ground wheat, and guarded wheat. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Set about with lily. Somebody said, well, who's guarding us? He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. But you know, I found one that's just as good as that. Hosea 14:5 said, he shall grow up as the lily. I want to say, my friend, that heap of wheat, that little bride whose belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. And he didn't just say one lily there. He emphasized the plural. He emphasized the plural to emphasize the fact that we are guarded on every side by Christ. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what the Armenians say, Ms. Ruth. When he gathers his wheat on harvest day. By the way, you have been harvested, ain't you? Hope you have. He don't leave the walls down. He puts a wall of fire about us. And guards us. And protects us. There'll not be one grain lost. I'm glad I'm safe.
Yes.
Secure. Yes. Now somebody said, now preacher, that don't include everybody. That's his bride. That's the church.
Amen.
A heap of wheat. Set about with lily. How about you? You fall into that category?
Amen.
Or are you chaff, tares? Or are you wheat? Let's stand together. Yes. A little uncertain this morning. But I treated it the best I knew how. Thy belly has a heap of wheat gathered. Garner, ground, garden. Our Father, I thank you, Lord, for the morning hour and the privilege of preaching. I pray that you'll help us in the invitation. May every heart be moved for Christ, every soul stirred. May sinners be saved and Jesus' wonderful name glorified. I do pray that you'll speak to your people. Give us some wisdom, some understanding. And move our hearts for thee in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
What are we going to sing, Brother George? 282, just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. What about it, Christian? If he got the winnowing fork in you trying to get rid of some chaff. Somebody said, Brother Hall, old Brother Peter, Simon Peter looked terrible. Denied God, sleeping in the garden, going fishing. Oh, yeah. But if you read 1 and 2 Peter in your Bible? You see, when the winnowing fork went in, and God began to shake him up in the seal, and the wind of the Holy Ghost blew the chaff away, the devil run around all over the countryside gathering up that chaff and saying, look here, here's old Peter, look at all the chaff. But God said, no, here's the ground wheat here. This is Peter. This is what my work has done, not over here. Are you listening to me? Wonderful God we have. You can't judge in the middle of the road. Wait till God wraps up a life. That'll determine where they are for Him. 282, let's sing right out.